Blog Talk Radio.
Four others and intercepted two passes to, and our
our win today that takes us into the championship of the Independent Football League of Florida. So, Ty, I appreciate everything you did today. And I got to make an announcement, guys. They just tested Ty for his IQ, and they tested his younger brother, Brady. Brady's IQ is 134. Ty's is 130. So,
wow.
That's about three times what their grandfather has. How you guys doing tonight?
Not bad. How you doing, Butch?
Good, good. Z, how you doing?
Z, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well.
Good, good. Ty, any news from the gym?
From what particular gym? I'm sorry.
That you were working at it? Yeah, your training?
No, nothing. Just training clients as usual. You know what I mean?
Good.
Nothing special.
Yeah, we sort of skimmed by that. We never talk about it. So you want to give yourself a plug for right now?
Well, actually, the name of our company is Mobile Fitness, and we do personal training, weight loss, strength gains as well. I'm also kickboxing as well as Muay Thai.
Good.
So please feel free. We're housed at Anytime Fitness in Barrow, Delaware.
There you go. And Z, I know your son's involved in football up there at the high school level. How's things going with him?
Oh, he's doing good. He's doing good. He's currently doing shot put for Howard's track team.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Last time I knew anybody doing that was Terry Thomas. He was a huge kid from down around the old Hires plant down there in Southside, down by the Blue Rock. And he could throw that thing, but God, I love to watch those guys do it. I know I couldn't do it, but I'd love to watch them do it. Great.
Well,
we're all joined this evening by Edner Cherry. Edner's Cherry Bomb Cherry. Edner's got some exciting news to tell us, and he's going to be up in the Philadelphia area on April 4th at Temple University. He's going to be, he's got a new, I'll let him tell you all the particulars, but he's got a new manager doing some more training here with Dan Birmingham. And Dan Birmingham has, he and Winky Wright will be on with us in the either next week or the following week, one or the other will be on. So that's some exciting news for us. Dan's a tremendous trainer with a lot of good fighters under his belt, including Winky, Jeff Lacey, and a bunch of others. So, and another good friend and former compatriot, Adam Jaco, will be fighting in Tampa on April 11th at the a la carte pavilion. So we want to get that out. So as we find out who he's fighting, we'll certainly bring that to everybody's attention in this area. Well, guys, we had a good fight last week, and evidently a lot of people enjoyed it. What do you think?
Well, yeah,
the Angulo and Canelo fight.
Yeah, the fight went particularly how I thought it would kind of go, with the exception of Canelo. You could tell that he's learned from that Floyd Mayweather fight, because he at times emulated Floyd with his defense, making Angulo look a little foolish. But, yeah, it kind of went how I expected. You know, Angulo just he just got hit too much.
Right.
Yeah, I think from a scorecard standpoint, the fight went according to script. I think most that favored Canelo, favored him by a wide margin, just seeing, just a much better boxer in the ring. I think the thing that surprised most people was that Canelo took center ring from the beginning. I think most of us thought he would have to use his boxing skills, which he did, but he took center ring and he pushed Angulo back from the very beginning of the fight and really established himself as the physical threat, even though he was supposedly in with a bigger man. From a marketing standpoint, According to the numbers, HBO pay-per-view, he was able to generate 350,000 buys without Alfred Angulo as the B-side. That's considered real good numbers. Obviously, it wouldn't be good numbers for Floyd Mayweather, but it's great numbers for Canelo Alvarez, and it still speaks to his drawing power even after the Floyd Mayweather loss, which some people question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny that you brought that up because they just had announced that it was over 350,000 buys, which will make him a star now with Showtime. On the other front, we got Danny Garcia gone tonight in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, actually, we have two Philly fighters who will be on the televised portion of tonight's Showtime telecast, and that is Malik Scott out of Philadelphia fighting Deontay Wilder, as well as Danny Garcia fighting Mauricio Herrera. And we also have a rematch between Juan Manuel Lopez and Ponce de Leon. I think it was 2008. It might have been 2010. Forgive me if I'm wrong. But either way, Juan Manuel Lopez blasted De Leon out in one round. Since then, both guys' records are 11-3, and both are coming off losses. But right now, it does look like, you know, Juan Manuel Lopez appears to be the more shot fighter. So the first two fights have a lot of intrigue between Malik Scott and Deontay Wilder, as well as Lopez and Ponce de Leon. With Danny Garcia is fighting Mauricio Herrera. He's not a common name. He's probably more famous right now than anything for being the one guy to beat Ruslan Provinikov, the one who took Tim Bradley to hell and back and destroyed Mike Alvarado. Mauricio Herrera is a quality guy. He's not on everyone's top 10 list in his weight division, but he's the guy who shows up against world-class competition and always at least gives a respectable showing of himself. He only has three losses. His problem is that he only has seven knockouts. He's not much of a puncher. And against Danny Garcia tonight, he's going to be also the slower man. So what he tends to like to do is fight behind his range, and you know, he was able to outwork and outmaneuver Provinikov, and he's obviously going to try to do the same thing with Danny Garcia.
Yeah, Danny Garcia, he likes to actually take his pace. And what he'll do, he'll get you out of your pace. He'll set his jab up, and he'll counterpunch. With that being said, Danny's not the fastest. Danny, he's defensively aware, but he's not the most defensive. And although he does have pop in his hands. He does have pop in his hands. That's one thing I'll say. With that being said, it depends how tough Herrera is. Because
Herrera's chin stood up to Provinikov.
Yeah, so, and if he could kind of muck it up, you know, make it warlike, make it ugly, then he'll be better served. But I'm real interested with Malik Scott and Deontay Wilder.
Yeah,
that's the one
yeah.
I'm really looking forward to.
They have familiarity with each other. Deontay Wilder has stated that he's never seen Malik Scott fight live. But one thing we all knew about going in is that Malik Scott spent time at Deontay Wilder's camp. They sparred together. And they both are very respectful to each other. In fact, Deontay Wilder said, you know, it's too bad I have to knock my brother out. I'm sad. And Malik Scott has come out and said, hey, me and Deontay are the best heavyweights on the planet. So, I mean, there's a lot of respect going in, but very interesting fight. This is going to be Deontay Wilder's stiffest test. You know,
absolutely.
Even though, now, Malik Scott had an undefeated record. Now, he's in his last, two of his last three fights, he's gotten a draw, which he should have won, and he was stopped by Derek Chisora in a fight that it shouldn't have been a stoppage. He was down and he was up and he could have continued. It was a poor stoppage, horrible stoppage.
Hey, guys, we're joined by Dr. Chris.
Dr. Chris.
Hey, guys, how are you?
How are you doing,
I'm
Dr. Chris?
Pretty good.
How's
guys.
It going?
I'm listening who's Dante Wilder fighting?
I'm sorry?
He's fighting Malik Scott out of Philly.
Who are you picking?
Well, you know, Malik Scott is 6'4", Deontay's 6'7", but Malik Scott is 6'4", he's rangy. He's a really slick boxer. And, you know, and there's still questions about Deontay Wilder's technique and his chin. But Malik Scott is not a big puncher.
His chin is suspect till it's proven. He takes a good heavyweight shot. Who this other guy beat? Who has he fought lately?
Now, Malik Scott has no real significant wins. He's been in with some guy. He fought, what's his name, Vasily Glashev. And it was called a draw, but everyone clearly thought Scott won that fight.
I saw the fight.
Yeah, Scott won that fight.
It wasn't a good fight, okay. Well, Wilder's got everything in his favor. It looks that way. You know? He's got the height, the reach. He's got a good right hand. And that guy didn't impress me that much when he fought that Russian.
Mm-hmm.
So... What do you think? I think you got to give Wilder the edge, don't you?
Yeah, I think Malik has the boxing skill to trouble him and maybe even beat him. But, unless Deontay Wilder has a glass chin, Malik's going to have to fight 10 rounds of avoiding that big shot. And I mean,
the great hand shot, yeah.
Yeah, Deontay can punch. And he gets it there pretty quick, too. He gets it there very quick to be as big as he is. I mean, He's a specimen, but it depends on his chin and his, you know what, also his mentality, because if he's not able to land that shot, or if Malik is able to stand up to a shot, then Malik's going to frustrate him with his boxing skills. So I think a lot of questions could be answered tonight.
What it is, Deontay's going to have to kind of take the puncher's role in this, because Malik, he's the type who's not going to always be keen to engage with you. And I have questions more with Deontay, anything with his stamina. Can he go that amount of time, you know, trying to get that big shot on Malik? Deontay doesn't go to the body. He's not really a body puncher. So when you depend on that one shot and a guy with Malik's skill knows that it's coming, then that shot's going to be harder to get to.
Yep. You know, Thomas Gremmis also fights tonight on NBC Sports as well. I think he fights Glashev. So,
what's
Kathy Duvicar, Butch.
Who's that?
Who's running the fight? HBO or Golden
Showtime
Boy?
Is running the Danny Garcia, Deontay Wilder, Juan Manuel Lopez fight, and NBC Sports One, I believe, is running the Thomas Gremmis against, I believe, a Vasily Glashev fight.
Yeah, it is. It's at 9 o'clock tonight.
Yep.
They're fighting up at the Sands Casino up in Bethlehem.
Yes, sir. Yep.
That should be a pretty good fight.
And I'm asking Kathy Duvicar, correct?
Yeah, right. Actually, it's Russell Peltz and Kathy Duva both.
Oh, okay. Russell's in there,
yep.
too. Okay.
Peltz has Glashev.
Okay.
Yeah. That should be a pretty mean fight, because they had to spar there for a while back in Newark. What the hell's the name of that place in Newark? I can never remember the arena. Which?
Is it in
It's in Newark.
Used to promote fights.
Duva. It's Duva's. She's got Adamic.
Mm-hmm.
They.
Okay.
Now, when you look at their pressers, they're both, very glad to be in the fight. This, that, and another thing, but they hate each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there's some good shows on tonight, then, huh?
Yeah. Sir.
That's good.
And then
what's the main event on the other one?
What's
the main event?
Danny Garcia against Mauricio Herrera.
Uh-huh.
Now, Herrera is the one guy who beat Ruslan Pervitnikov. Remember the guy who took Bradley to hell and back?
Mm-hmm.
The Russian? Yeah. Now, Herrera has a victory over him. He outworked him and outmaneuvered him for a decision. Herrera is like 23-3 with 7 knockouts. He's not a puncher at all.
Oh, okay.
How tall is Herrera?
Herrera's 5'10". That's the thing, though. You know, he's tall for the class.
Matches up with Danny.
Yeah, he's taller than Danny. He's so, and you know, Herrera's tall for the class. He moves his feet well. He's educated. He's crafty. But he doesn't, you know, he just doesn't have any particular weapons. Again, what he was able to do with Provinikov, as you know, dominant as Provinikov can look, he's still, you know, fairly one-dimensional. And Herrera was able to, you know, use his jab, move. And what Herrera did that was kind of surprising is he went to the body a lot as well. He went to the body, was circled out, tied Provinikov up when he had to, and he just overall outworked him and outmaneuvered him. And, you know, so, I mean, he has some skill, and he's very crafty in there. A guy he reminds you of, but he doesn't fight like Zito, but just reminds you of in that sense of like a Carlos Molina, you know, the kind of guy who doesn't do anything really well, but he does everything really solid, and he's, you know, really, really secure in the type of fighter he is. So he doesn't go out of his comfort zone, you know what I mean? And so, you know, he's the kind of guy that on any given night could give anybody trouble, but, you know, he's also capable on any given night of losing anybody too, you know? So
he could basically make Danny Garcia look bad in the decision loss.
He could very well make Garcia look bad and win the fight, or he could totally get dominated and lose the fight. I mean, it's just the type of skill set he has, and it's just really how he adapts and how he works around with his opponent breaks.
You know, I've been watching Garcia a lot to see how much he's going to improve. And when he moves in, he drags his right foot. His right foot is open. It's out to the right. And he drags it. He doesn't throw a left hook behind the right hand. He's always off balance. He's off balance a lot. A good boxer could give him a fit.
Yeah.
You know, well, Zab Judah gave him a fit in the later rounds, too.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
You know, I mean, I look at Garcia, I say, you know, a good boxer, an old-fashioned good boxer, counterpuncher, could give Garcia fits.
You know
but
what?
He's tough,
before, a guy that's, to me, not a good boxer, but has good boxing skills at times, Amir Khan was really giving him trouble. I mean, was practically overwhelming him before Amir Khan forgets that offense is not always defense, and he got caught with a big shot. But, yeah, Danny Garcia, the thing about Garcia that I think he's so underrated is because he always looks so vulnerable. But, you know, this is a guy who just all he does is win.
Danny has good timing. He has real good timing. It takes him a minute, but when he gets his timing down, then he'll start to own the fight. What gives Danny trouble is speed. Is how and out speed. Danny, he has to adjust the speed and the speed to get to him. I mean, Zab Judah early, I mean, he kind of went big on Zab Judah early. He established himself. But later on, that speed gave him fit.
Well, you know, what I see about Danny Garcia, too, that to me is one of his great traits, is he can think his way through a fight. He does make adjustments. He's also a guy that is very gritty, and when hurt, he, you know, even though he's only 25, when hurt, he acts like a veteran in there. You know what I mean? And I think part of what makes Danny Garcia so formidable is that he is a physically big, tough guy for 140. He has, like Zito said, good pop. He doesn't have great speed, but he's not the slowest guy. But then in the midst of it all, he seems to have a very calm, clear mind, which allows him to think his way through fights, which is, you know, makes him a very, very dangerous fighter. That's honestly, I think if it weren't for the cut, he would have not necessarily beat Matisse, but he was able to adjust to what Matisse was doing because it looked like he lost the first three or four rounds to me. Then he started adjusting and started coming back. And that's one thing, you know, you got to admire about. Danny's a thinking man's fighter. He really is.
I'll tell you what, he impressed me fighting Matisse, you know. But if Matisse didn't get a swollen eye, I would have loved to have seen that fight without Matisse's eye closing. I think it would have been a different ball game. But, you know, we'll never see it again. I don't think he'll fight Matisse again. You fight him once, you don't want to fight him again. You got nothing to prove, you know. He's a nice guy to stay away from.
Another thing, too, about Danny has the confidence to punch when you're punching. And that's what he did with Amir Khan. Amir Khan was letting loose on combinations that was blasting Danny for the first couple of rounds. And in the middle of Amir letting loose on one of those combinations, Danny just threw the left hook. I mean, like Zito said, it's one thing to have good timing. It's another thing to, be fearless in a sense where you could punch while the other guy's punching you. And that's what Danny will do, so.
And he knew what was coming. Danny knew what was coming from Americana. It's similar to Marquez and Pacquiao. When you have those arms out and the other fighter knows it's coming, he can adjust. He can throw when you're throwing because he knows which direction is coming. He can adjust and get you like that.
Yep.
Honestly, the fight I'm most interested in on that Showtime card and probably the fight I'm, outside of maybe the Wilder, the fight I'm really interested in tonight is and it's really not of any significance from a title standpoint at this point, but from a career standpoint it is, and that's why Manuel Lopez against Ponce de Leon. A bad loss for either man could really spell the end.
Yeah. Did you have to take a look at the picture they had in their presser?
I'm sorry?
Ponce de Leon with the long ponytail?
Yeah, that's what he does. The funny thing is when Juan Manuel Lopez blasted Ponce de Leon out in one round a few years back. That was like his announcement. That was his coming out party. He was on a grand stage. That's when the whole buzz was going on about he and Yuri Ortiz Gamboa fighting. And, Bob Arum was looking at Juan Manuel Lopez as the next big thing. At the same time, Golden Boy was looking at Victor Ortiz as the next big thing. A few years later, Victor Ortiz was just wiped out by Luis Collazo. And Juan Manuel Lopez is now facing a guy that he knocked out in one round just a few years ago just to try to keep his career alive. Just amazing. And both of these guys are young. Juan Manuel Lopez is just 30. He's younger.
Yeah, it would be a worse loss for Ponce de Leon. Just because, he got blasted out he got blasted out. Lopez has a better name, a bigger name. Yeah, Lopez has a bigger name. So,
here's why I would disagree with you. I think it's a much worse loss for Lopez. One, because he's already knocked Ponce de Leon out in one round. And the one thing about Ponce de Leon, because of his style, it's always been kind of like, he's bound to get knocked out, even though he hasn't got knocked out a lot. Lopez was the guy that knocked De Leon out one round. Since then, since his couple losses to Salido, he's basically looked like a shot fighter. If Ponce de Leon beats him, then wow. You know what I mean? I mean, then that's come full circle to maybe he is a shot fighter. I think it's a much, much worse loss for Lopez because he is the one that blew Ponce de Leon away.
I think that you figure Ponce de Leon loses, he's definitely going to have problems getting on, major network TV. To where Lopez, he might have another fight, that they'll put him on for.
You know what?
I mean, but Ponce de Leon, he's not a bigger name than Lopez.
No, but if Lopez loses this fight after the way he looked against the Mikey Garcia fight, I think Lopez himself is expecting to possibly call it quits. So that's a big difference.
And it depends how the fight goes, too.
Yeah, a lot of interesting fights.
I think Paz can afford this loss a little more than Lopez. He's falling from farther up.
A lot of question marks.
That's what makes the sport so intriguing. You don't want to watch fights knowing what's going to happen when you go in all the time. That's what people complain about with Floyd Mayweather. That's why everyone wanted to see him fight Canelo. So, that's what's so great about these cars tonight. You don't know what's going to happen.
They put a lot of these guys on early in their career, and they give them dead bodies to fight, and it's not interesting. Nobody wants to watch it.
No.
Unless the fight's, unless the other guy's got a chance, I don't want to watch it. I don't like one-sided fights and promoters' fighters. You know what I'm saying? These will be interesting.
On paper, Dr. Chris, the guy who's in the softest is Danny Garcia, the main event. and
yeah.
You know, and even and that also could be a very good fight. But just on paper, he's the guy, you know, who's matched the softest. So.
And that's tonight. But throughout, Deontay Wilder's been the guy who's basically been kind of matched the softest. So this.
Oh, by far throughout, yeah.
Hey guys, we have joining us tonight is Edner Cherry Bomb Cherry.
Cherry Bomb.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, when I first met Edner a few years ago over at the a venue here in Tampa, Edner was in the middle of the ring, and he had his manager was in the back of the room trying to get everybody to yell Cherry Bomb. Here we are, a couple years forward, and he's got a big fight up on your old campus, Chris, up at Temple University on the 4th.
Yeah.
How you doing tonight, Edner?
I'm
doing pretty good.
Good.
Put a good show on up there.
Yeah.
You don't hear about cherry bombs anymore. They were number one firecracker when I was a kid. We used to terrorize people with those damn things. They were a nickel apiece.
Well, you know what?
I remember used to buy them and throw them at everybody.
Sure. I can tell you that I've been in his company. I've been at ringside with this guy with a couple fights locally, and I can tell you that that's exactly what happens when he hits somebody. They just explode.
Yeah.
He comes
oh,
out.
Really?
Boom.
He hits that hard, huh?
Yes, he does.
Wow.
Yeah. Edner, tell us about your upcoming fight.
Say that again.
Tell us all about your upcoming fight.
Yeah, right now I'm getting ready. The fight will be April 4th in Philly at the Blue Horizon, I think it is. And you know, we're getting ready right now, and you know, we getting sharp, and you know, working with my new trainer Dan Birmingham, and we're just working and we're just getting ready. April 4th, and you know what I'm saying, y'all will see action fight, and you know when I go in there in the ring, it's business, you know what I'm saying, you know, it'll be a great fight, it'll be a good show, then you know whoever they put in front of me, and you know it'll be a good fight, so you know make sure that you know whoever it is they have to be prepared because the cherry bomb is coming, you know what I'm saying, the time to ignite that cherry bomb.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now, just so everybody out there will know, Dan Birmingham's been a tremendous trainer for a number of years. And
do
you want to give him some of the people that you're in the same stable with, like who else he's training?
Right now, he used to train Jeff Lacy, who became world champion. Winky Wright became world champion. So now, right now, he's working with different, fighters coming up right now. And he's working also with Keith Thurman. And he did a great job with Keith. And also he's working with me. And we're working on things. And the main part is listening. And he's taking that time, to teach me, you have a lot of trainer that just train, but Dan Birmingham, he's like a teacher. He teach, you know what I'm saying? You know, about the boxing game, and you know, when you go in there, what to do, not to do. Then when I first came to train with Dan Birmingham, and you know, for a couple of weeks, whatever, until now, then you know, even though I tell my wife, I tell my wife and other people, I see why Jeff Lacy become world champion. I see why Winky Wright become world champion. And I see now Keith Thurman will become a world champion. He worked a lot with Keith, and he brought Keith a long ways, and Keith is looking great.
Great. Now you're 31-6 with 17 knockouts. Who do you think was of all your fights? Who was the toughest one you fought?
You know what, the tough one, I would say Timothy Bradley. You know, because he gave me trouble. You know, he just stayed busy. You know, even when I didn't move my hand, you know, he moved his hand. You know, he stayed busy, and you know, because he was a champ. You know, by me moving up, you know, to 140 pounds. You know, I'm not a 140 pounder, but you know, he's a great in shape. You know, he's a great fighter. You know, when he comes in the ring, he comes in great conditioning, and you know, he'd be ready for or anything. So, you know, I would say Timothy Bradley.
And you recently fought Vicente Escobedo. I know how you won the fight, but was that a tough fight for you?
No, sir. It wasn't a tough fight for me. I know what I was putting myself into when I was going into that ring. And, you know, he was one of a Golden Boy fighter. And, you know, if that fight had went all the way to the 10th round, then, you know, you know what I'm saying, they would have it probably, they would have given him the fight. So, you know, me and the team, we went, you know, we have to knock this guy, we have to beat this guy. And, you know, we went in there with, you know, in great shape, you know, ready for anything that comes, you know, if you want to bang, whatever, whatever he brings, we was prepared for. Then, you know, through that same night, I know I was stronger, and because you could see it, because he didn't want to stay in there in the pocket and exchange, but you know he wanted to pop and you know run and you know try to survive, and you know I just so stayed on him. You know, Vicente, he's a great fighter. And you know what I'm saying, I'm not taking anything away from him. I'm not taking anything from no fighter, because when they stepping in the ring, you know, they a man, you know what I'm saying? But not anybody could step in the ring and fight. If it was that case, everybody in the world would have boxed. But you know, this is a tougher job.
Yep. You know, Chris was talking just a few minutes ago that sometimes early in a fighter's career, they put a bunch of tomato cans in against the guy to beat him. But you've had a pretty good run there. You have Paulie Malignaggi, Timothy Bradley, Juan Carlos Martinez, Escobedo, just to name a few of them. And that is there anything any other one that stands out in your mind?
You know what? It's whoever, you know what I'm saying. It's, you know, like when I was coming up in my career, I didn't have it easy way. You know what I'm saying? You had some of these fighters had it easy. I mean, I came up from scratch, from down low. You know what I'm saying? But worked myself right up here, and you know it wasn't handed to me, and you know it was tough, Frank. It was tough. You know what I'm saying? Because I had to work myself. I had to work hard just to get where I'm at. You know what I'm saying? Sure. Now I'm seeking for a world title. If they ever give me that chance to world title, I guarantee you I will bring it home, because I had that chance at a world title. It was at the wrong weight class against Timothy Bradley. So if they give it to me one more time, and which I'm working towards it, and at 130 pounds, I will give them a lot of trouble. I will become a world champion. Because I know my background, I know where I came from. Nothing was handed to me, a win wasn't handed to me. It just I had to step in the ring with whoever they put me in, just to make a name, just to get to that top, just to get there. Then when you see guys making all that money and they just give them, you know, whoever, like, yeah, you know, we just gonna give you this guy to fight, then they just run him over. Then when they put him in a tough fight and they just crumble, you know what I'm saying, that they don't know how to take the beating, they don't know how to stand the pressure, and they just quit, and you don't even hear them anymore because they have an easy career. People just hand them fights, just here, go ahead and fight there, you know what I'm saying? But me, I had it the hard way, so, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying, just like what I said, it's like whoever they put in front of me, hey, it's nothing new, you know what I'm saying, because I work hard to get there. You know, I work hard to fight, you know, to get that type of fight.
Well, you know,
how long were you in a 140-pound division?
You know what, I'd have, I'd I wasn't a 140-pounder. I was 135. I was I started 135, but you know, with the team that I was with, you know, they said, "Well, we about to fight Timothy Bradley. We need you to move up." Hey, when the Pauly fight came up, whatever. Hey, want you to move up to fight Pauly because Pauly had just lost against Cotto. Then Pauly might not even want to make a comeback. Then I was his comeback fight after that brutal loss after Cotto when Cotto destroyed him. You know what I'm saying? Then I was his comeback. Mm-hmm. So I moved up to 140 to fight him. But I was in 140 pounder. You know what I'm saying? I was fighting at 135. That's where I started my career. And I was easy. Oh. I was easy making 135. Then, you know, so now when I went with Tony Morgan, then I told him, I said, you know what, I want to fight at 130 because I easy make 135 because, you know what I'm saying, if I do good hard work, I'm there. So it's like, I know it'd be a little tougher, a little harder, a discipline to, you know, to fight at 130 pounds. So.
Hey, now, Edna, this is Ty. How you doing, man?
Doing good. How about yourself?
Doing well. Now you talked about how you started your career at 135, you said?
Yes, sir. I came through my career at 135.
Right. And so fighters typically, as they get older, they get bigger, they move up in weight. Talk about what kind of change it's been for you, dietary and as far as your workout, and moving down in weight as you've gotten older.
You know what? I haven't had no problem with my weight at all. You know what they say, so when you start getting up in age, you have to move up. You know what? Just like I'm 31, just like it was last week, I took a good little nice run. You know what I'm saying? Then when I weighed myself, I was 135. So that was not with you know, eating healthy or getting ready for a fight. It just I went and took a long run and came back, jumped on the scale, it was 135. But then at the same time, yes, I watch what I eat sometimes. Then like when I started going overboard, then I kind of tell myself, hey, Edna, you need to chill. Edna, you need to, you know what I'm saying? Because like I want to catch myself like, hey, Edna, what are you doing, Edna? And you know, but I'm a person that, you know, when it's time to get on my weight, you know what I'm saying, if they give me enough of time, and you know what I'm saying, not 2 weeks notice, whatever, you know what I'm saying, no. But if I have like 6-8 weeks, yes, I mean it's like the way we get off easy, because then that's when I jump on my diet. You know, I start drinking water, eating it healthy, then I stay away from the sweets and the garbage food for a good little minute, you know what I'm saying? And you know, once in a while I'll have sweet tooth. Once in a while I'm like, man, I want like a junk burger. I want me a burger, you know what I'm saying? But you know, that happens. But at the same time, I never had no problem, you know, through high school. I've been going through the same weight when I was in high school until now. And, you know, you know what I'm saying? I never blow up. You know what I'm saying? I walk around 142 since when I was in high school, you know?
Oh, wow.
And until now, I still the same. You know what I'm saying? Just like when I was fighting 135, I was walking around 142. Then, you know, after weighing 135, then the night of, I only gained like 5 pounds, the most. You know what I'm saying? So then these guys was blowing up down close to 150. Then now I find the difference now since I'm fighting at 130, then the night of I'm gaining about 8-9 pounds, you know what I'm saying? So I'm back like close to 140. So you know I don't blow up that, you know what I'm saying? I don't gain all that weight for some reason. I don't know why. So, you know, which I think it's a good thing.
I know if you walking around, you just said that you're walking around at the age you are now, at the same weight that you were in high school, every woman that is listening to this show tried to reach to their phones or computer and tried to choke you. Every woman.
Every single woman. Every single woman.
Hell, I'm trying to think, doing it myself. My left leg is 135
pounds. You said Dan Birmingham is teaching you a lot. Is he helping you with strategy or strategizing for specific fighters as well?
You know what? Like, right now, we're working on everything. Just name it everything, like, in case we have, like, when they present a fighter to us, then we already work on them things. Then, so now we do, now we going in the box and say, okay, now we need this strategy. This is what we need to work on. You know what I'm saying? Because we work on everything, movement, the jab, and you know what I'm saying? But we putting everything in. And in case a fight comes up, then we already work on this, so we just like, hey, so now we just have to stick with it. You know what I'm saying? So, so that's what we are doing right now, and you know, which is great.
This guy, Robert Asabui, is that how you say it? Asabui. You're fighting on the 4th. He's a Nigerian. That's been working out in Las Vegas, but he's ranked 177 out of 1,700. So this guy's no pushover. Is there anything that you and Dan have been working on to take this guy down?
You know what? We are putting the hard work in, and you know what? Like Robert, whatever his last name is. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not taking him lightly. He's not the first tough guy that I fought. So which means, you know what I'm saying, I'm not afraid to step in, you know what I'm saying? Because I've been there, I've been in that position, I've been with people who hit hard, and I've been in tough fights, and there are times that I've been knocked down, then I got up, then I got back up and finished the fight strong. Then that, you know what I'm saying, that doesn't surprise me. But at the same time, I'm not taking him lightly. But we just working on some things, and you know, we just getting prepared. And you know, just like today, we sparred today. I sparred 10 rounds today with no problem. And just like yesterday, I ran an 8 mile, and I felt good. You know what I'm saying? And then I'm finding myself peaking, and you know it's feeling my body feeling good. You know just like I'm not a party person. You know what I'm saying? I'm a family man. I'm home, and you know, even like sometimes my wife have to kick me out. Like, hey, honey, are you gonna go somewhere? It's like, man, it's like sometimes I just want to sit on this couch and just. Go to sleep, and you know what I'm saying? But that's me, you know what I'm saying? Like, besides training and, you know, sometimes just, you know, spend time with the family or church, whatever, you know, that's me. But after that, we will be prepared for April 4th, and, you know, and whatever he comes with, then, you know, the only thing I have to worry about going back to the corner and listening to Dan Birmingham, then, you know, for directions and adding this is what you need to do. You know what I'm saying? And but I think April 4th, I think we will do great. I think we'll do good conditioning. I'm in good shape, getting there, and I'm just ready, you know what I'm saying? That's who I am. I'm a fighter.
Will Dan be traveling to Philadelphia with you?
Say that again?
Will Dan be in your corner with you in Philadelphia, or who will be up there with you?
Dan of Birmingham will be in my corner. Matter of fact, I think we'll be leaving the same day.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
great.
Yes, sir.
Temple University. It's at the La Crosse Center. That's their field house where they play basketball. It's a 10,200-seat arena, it's located right on the campus of the University of Temple, Dr. Chris happens to be an alumnus of.
Okay, all right. See, I heard a lot of great fighters fought at the Blue Horizon, you know, with it, looking at that building with it. And, you know, I heard a lot about it, but I never been there. I never fought there. So, you know, now I have a chance. You know, I could, you know, and I could experience it and look at it like, wow, you know.
Yep.
And, you know, yep. Yeah. It's good.
Chris, do you ever fight up there?
No. No, I got as far as the Cambria. And
okay.
they tore that down. The Blue Horizon couldn't compete with the Cambria way, way, way back. The Cambria seemed like it got the better fighters. The Blue Horizon was like a place where you started. And it didn't feature a lot of 8-round and 10-round bouts. Now it does. The last 15 years, it's been a great place in Philadelphia to see fights. I've been there 100 times. It's a good arena. It's a good. There's not a bad seat in the house.
Great.
There's not a bad seat in the house. I mean, it's a good arena, and they get a fair amount of talent there now. They get some damn talented fighters. I've seen some very good fights there. You know,
mm-hmm.
I watched. I used to go all the time. I would say, let's see, my sons are about. I would say 15 years ago and back, I used to go constantly. And Marty Feldman got me. I mean, I had a free pass in there. But it's a great arena to fight at. It's very close. It's an old-fashioned club fighters gym. You know, club fighters arena. You know, it was hard to compete in Philly. You had the arena that would seat thousands. You had Coppy Stadium, a big outdoor arena in South Philadelphia. It was tough. It was tough to put a show on to draw a big crowd there. And it competed at the lower levels with the Cambria, Poppy Stadium, but it wasn't up there with Convention Hall, you know. The fighters would work their way up. It was a club fighter's dream, that place. Now with television, they draw a better quality fighter. There's no question about it. People all over the country watch flights from the Blue Horizon. When I was in Puerto Rico, they asked me a million questions about the Blue Horizon. For some reason or other, the worldwide, the Blue Horizon is like an old-fashioned gym. They love to see fights in there. And, and I've seen probably 100 fights there, at least.
Yeah.
Marty Feldman started his son there. I saw Gaddy fight there. I saw a lot of good fighters there.
Yeah.
So, it's quite a place. It's quite a place.
This year you changed management. You want to tell us about how Russell's treated you?
Yeah, so far, I changed promoter. Y'all know I was with 8 Count Promotion from Chicago. They stayed or didn't stick with their thing, you know what I'm saying, with their promise. And, you know, we had to get out and, you know, they can't move me for some reason. You know what I'm saying? They only gave me 2 fights and it's like we wait and we never hear from them. And, you know, so now signing with Russell Peltz, and, you know, we are looking for better things, and, you know, that he was able to move me and get me to a big fight, with the team, you know what I'm saying, that all of us will become a world champion together. And so that's what we're shooting for. So far, Russell's doing good, you know. You know, I just hated that I had to sit this long, you know what I'm saying, because of something that I didn't deserve, something that it wasn't my fault, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I was in a gym, I'm ready, and it's like, you know, it's just like, I'm at work, y'all. I'm not getting a paycheck. What's up, you know what I'm saying? I'm working, man, you know what I'm saying? I'm just going to work every day, and y'all not even cut me a check, so it seemed like I was doing it for free, you know what I'm saying? So that's what seems like A-Can was doing, man. It's like, man, what y'all doing, man? But at the same time, man, you know, but we just looking at Russell Peltz, you know, that he do his part, and we will do our part. And, and you know, I'm just, that's all I'm asking for. That's all we looking for, you know, as a, you know, the team. You know, and, you know, that we stay busy and get the right fight, you know what I'm saying? And just because I'm a fighter, it doesn't mean just throw a line and with Timmy in, you know what I'm saying? But it's like picking, you know, getting the right fight, you know, at the right time. You know, the tough fight will come, but you know, let's make the right decision. You know, when we get these fights. You know.
Uh-huh. Redner, again, I want to thank you for coming on. It's been a great, great show with letting us know about your new fight. Again, that's April 4th for those in the Philadelphia area. It's at the Lucrezia Center on the University of Temple. It's at Broad and Diamond in Philadelphia. Broad Allegheny to Broad and Diamond. And we wish you the best of luck, and we hope we can get you back on after you have this next win.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much, Frank. And I really appreciate every. Yeah, did I thank all of y'all, and, you know, for y'all the support, for being behind me and, you know, believing in me. And I thank all of y'all. Then I thank everyone around the world, the fans who's listening right now. And I thank y'all very much. Without y'all, I can't make it happen because, you know, the fans that make me, you know what I'm saying? You know, they're the one who made me. They're the one who pushed me. They're the one who encouraged me. And I really thank y'all for everything that y'all doing. Then I'm continue the CEO to push me and continue to encourage me.
There you go.
Jerry. All right.
Good luck to you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, guys, okay. We're up against the hour here. So, Chris, I want to thank you again. It's always
I was a listener tonight, Frank. I was a listener.
you had more than you really said, no. Ty and Zito, as I say every week, I can't do the show without you. And, I appreciate you very much.
Take it easy, guys.
Okay,
now.
Have a good week, Chris.
Okay.
I'll talk to you in a week.
Right.
Ty, you want to lead us out?
Well, it was a pleasure talking to Dr. Chris, as usual. And obviously, Edna, the cherry bomb. Cherry, we wish him all the best in a few weeks for his upcoming fight. He's been out the ring for a while, so we hope that he shakes that ring rust off real quick.
Yes, sir.
Bobby's our co-pilot. Take care.
Yes, sir. You know, one more thing. Yeah, I know I've been out for a while. I think I had told Frank this. For this whole year, like since I have fought in February of last year, being honest, I never missed like a whole week out the gym. Till now, it's crazy. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I haven't missed like a whole week. I'll be in the gym like 2 days and, you know, some chills, and sometimes I will find myself just working hard. Then I will go in the gym and do a little something here. But you know how some fighters, they will miss the gym like 3 weeks, a month, and because there's nothing coming up. Man, I was in the gym, but, you know what I'm saying, at the same time, it was getting frustrated, man. It's like, man, I'm in the gym, busting my butt, beating my body down. It's like, man, it's crazy, man. But at the same time, I suck it up, man. And, you know, got to be a gym rat, man. You know what I'm saying? I guess that's where I am, a gym rat, and just training just, I ain't just training for the training. When something comes up, and I'll be like in somewhat in shape. You know what I'm saying?
There you go. Want to say goodnight to the folks? Z?
Definitely. I thought you were talking to Edna. I definitely want to thank Edna for coming on. I want to thank Dr. Chris. These shows are definitely a memory of Bob. And if anyone wants to hear any fighting words, please do call. Butch?
Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to thank everybody for listening worldwide. We really appreciate our guests. Each and every week we try to put these shows together to make it interesting for boxing enthusiasts around the world. And we thank our guests and especially our two co-hosts. These programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation of the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, men and women of Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and you see somebody in a uniform, just say thank you. That's all you have to do. It makes a world of difference to each and every one of us in uniform. We also dedicate these programs to those who have lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerber, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman and Officer Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogel, Longboat Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Patrolman Brian Murphy of the Plymouth Township Police Department Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, MIT Officer Sean Collier, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, and Deputy Jonathan Scott Hine, Orange County Sheriff's Office. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the rose rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine softly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hollow of his hands. Good night.
Shemalek ma'ilama Shemahezah yilma Sona shenevorat fet Hakuig again ma'ilma Shemalek ma'ilama
Hey, Bob. We miss you.